It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown. And the posse are here, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson. We've got quite a show for you. Matter of fact, we're going to let you attend the grand opening of the Microsoft Store at Troy. We were there yesterday, Cal and I. We've got some great sound bites from that with Steve Ballmer and the new manager of the store and a whole lot of things going on today. And you'll find out whether I made a smart decision about my smartphone. Oh, it's always a fun time in the house. We got our original posse with us, and we do today. Gary Baker is back in town here. Good to have him in studio as well.
It's great to be here instead of out running around the country watching my son play lacrosse.
Listen, you could be running around the world watching your daughter.
She's back now from Costa Rica.
I understand.
And she doesn't leave for Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, until Sunday.
And in the meantime, just to pass the time, she's running one of the mutter races. That's what we're talking about. Lauren Baker, by the way, for years was our teen tech advisor. Lauren has grown up on the program quite literally from your first appearances.
Right. She was, I think, 5 years old when
she was very first. We have pictures on our Facebook page of that. Yeah,
that's right. Well, and she's running the Tough Mudder tomorrow morning, which is hard to believe. And then running home, showering, and getting on a plane to Rio.
Oh my word! Incredible. So. Well, to be young and mobile like that. And Eddie, thank you for being here. Eddie Rudell, you have been celebrating something for one of your young people in the family, too, haven't you?
Just a graduation. So, yeah, graduation party last weekend or a couple weekends ago.
And what are you doing with yourself now? Empty nest? Quiet home?
He's hitting all the graduation parties, and my daughter's up in hitting the carnival circuit because she's back in college. And you're right. I have a tractor torn apart. I got some parts shipped in the mail this morning from jacksmallengine.com. I love them.
Oh, the tingling in the fingers?
Oh, I'm gonna go cut some fingers and, you know, smash a few fingers. And
see, when Ed isn't tearing computers apart or the bytes within the computers, he's also working on everything else.
I'm working on toasters and tractors.
Talon finished up his Eagle Scout project, right?
He did, and we had his Eagle Scout Board of Review last week, and that passed.
Congratulations.
So congratulations. They were very impressed. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations to Talon.
So now we just have to do his, what is it called, honors, Eagle...
Court of Honor.
Court of Honor.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Hopefully we can squeeze that in before he goes to college.
Lots of proud parents here, folks. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have another proud parent. And Cal, you were showing off a picture of what your daughter, who is she works in the Apple store as one of the Apple reps there, and she had a very special meeting. Gary, you got to hear this. This is cool.
Well, this is a funny thing because she's no longer with the Apple people.
Oh, isn't she? Oh, pardon me.
She has moved on, but it's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. She's doing a different encounter right now. But she calls me on Monday night and she goes, "Hey, Dad, Steve Wozniak's in town doing some business and."
Steve Wozniak, one of the founders of Apple Computer.
Co-founder of Apple Computer. And she goes, how would I be able to get in contact with him? I go, what have you tried already? She said, well, I went to his Facebook page and I sent him a message because I wanted to meet up with him and talk with him and stuff like that.
This is Kel's daughter.
And I said, okay.
Well, I have his email and his phone number if you need it. Too late.
And that's what Kel said to her.
That's pretty much what I said to her. I have his email address. Oh, cool. If you want to, send him an email and tell him that you met before at one of our Mac group meetings. And such and such and blah de blah and what you want to do. And she said, okay, fine. And so she hung up because she was out over her friend's house. And then in the morning I'm at work on Tuesday and she gives me a call and she goes, Dad. I go, what? She goes, I'm having dinner with Steve Wozniak this evening.
I love it.
I go, you got to be kidding me. She says, no, I'll send you pictures and tell you about it later. And sure enough, Steve and her and one other person, they all met together and they had dinner and had a lovely time for about an hour and a half. And that's just the type of guy Steve is.
It is. You know, what's interesting, for somebody who has had such a
crucial role in the development of computers.
That's right.
When you think
built the first Apple One.
He right. and Steve, he's a genius, but he's also this really neat, very loose kind of guy. Has he moved to New Zealand? I think he was moving to New Zealand for some reason.
No, he was going to go down there and do a project down
oh,
there.
Oh, it was a project. Oh, okay.
But he is, if I'm not mistaken, applying for citizenship for Australia.
Australia, okay.
Yes.
He decided to go down under. But, I mean, the man is absolutely fascinating and very unassuming, which is really nice about him.
Well, do you remember when we've had him in here a few times?
Yes.
And he, you know, he really set up The Tech, which is a hands-on museum for kids out in San Jose.
Oh.
Just a wonderful, wonderful, very large, very elaborate, very technology-oriented, as you would expect, hands-on museum. Wonderful.
That is fascinating. Yeah. He's a very, what I find out about him is not just an unassuming, brilliant man, but his mind, it's fun just following his mind.
Very humble, too.
Oh, absolutely. And very loves, approachable.
And you know, plays with his, I shouldn't say plays, but, you know, really sets up and interacts with his kids and their friends and has been a mentor to a number of them.
Kind of he was a much more human part of the team, I think, between him and Jobs.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And
he's
much more likable.
He would, have a practical joker as well, too.
He would have to be. Because Steve Jobs was like, you know, so standoffish. Yeah, way on the other side.
Yeah.
They made a great marriage.
It's like a good, a good cop, bad cop thing.
Starsky and Hutch, you know, pick whatever one you want. Well, yesterday, you, Cal, and I played Starsky and Hutch in some ways.
And you guys talked to a different Steve.
Yes, we did.
And who's figuring prominently into the computer, not only history, but future.
That's
Steve Ballmer from Microsoft.
It was a big time yesterday. Cal and I were at the grand opening of the Microsoft store. And to be honest with you, I did not realize this when we were there until a little later on. They were handing out these cards that said $200 off a Surface RT.
Right.
And that meant the thing sold for like a 160.
It was $299. But then when you figure out that they also include
the keyboard, right?
Either the type or the touch.
Either one.
Keyboard, either one, which are, I think they retail for
120, I think it is.
120?
Yeah.
So when you take that off as well, that you would have normally had
to put on.
That's a great deal.
For $300, you get a great, and they were going through them. They were certainly going through them when I was in there. Yep. An exciting kind of a time.
And it comes with a full office suite on it as well. Now,
exactly.
What you can't do is you can't put on other legacy
third-party kind of things.
Applications.
Right.
So you can't put on Adobe. You can't read PDFs and things like that.
There's
so.
Kind of an interesting head-to-head commercial out right now between the Surfaces and the iPad. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes.
That is a funny ad. Well, listen, Cal and I were there yesterday. Cal took all the pictures, and he's editing them right now. We'll put them on our Facebook page and on our homepage as well a little later on. But I was there, and I did a bunch of interviews, and we put them all together so that you'll be able to kind of catch some of the excitement of the grand opening of the Microsoft store in Troy at the Somerset Collection. That's coming up in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. And now here's a collection of the sound bites that we took from the grand opening of the Microsoft store in the Somerset Collection in Troy.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing? We are so excited to be able to show you some of the latest technology. Windows 8 PCs, Windows phones, Xbox 360. We also are taking pre-orders today in store for the Xbox One. So we're really excited about that, right? This store was made for you, and we can't wait to welcome you into it. It is going to be amazing. And without further ado, I would like to introduce you to a very special man, Microsoft CEO, Steve Ballmer.
Well, thanks. Thanks for everybody for taking the time and coming out this morning. This is the 42nd store that Microsoft is opening. We've had about 250 million visitors, but it's only the second store that I've been involved in opening. The first store is in my new hometown of Bellevue, Washington. And the second store is in my original hometown of Detroit. And it is great to be here. We're going to try to get you all pumped up, show you a bunch of cool stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I got one question. Just one question before we start. Is there anybody here who's read anything about Xbox One? Anybody? We got some work to do, We got to get a few more people, but I want to know if you think you will want an Xbox One. I want to hear from you right now. We have a number of folks here today that we want to thank. I want to thank the Forbes family who have made it possible for us to come here to the Somerset Collection. It's hard for me to say Somerset Collection. I don't want to be offensive, but I haven't lived in Detroit for a long time. This is still Somerset Mall in my heart, but I'll call it the Somerset Collection. We absolutely want to thank the mayor of Troy, Mayor Slater, who's here with us today, and Lieutenant Governor Talley, who's here from the state of Michigan. Thanks all of you for your support. As part of this opening, we'll be contributing $1.4 million to various not-for-profit community organizations here in Detroit. And I'd like to turn things over to our general manager in this area, John Fickety, who will talk a little bit more about some of the great organizations that we get a chance to give back to. John.
Thank you. How great is it to have Steve Ballmer back in town? Give it up for Steve. And I want to thank Steve and Microsoft for their continued investment in the state of Michigan, in this Detroit area here. So thank you very much, Steve, for your commitment there. Now it's my honor to recognize and introduce you to Michigan's Lieutenant Governor, Bill Cayley.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Microsoft for being here. It's so exciting. I'm 36 years old, just old enough to remember when computers were so hard to use. Microsoft, Windows, unlocked technology for everybody, changed the world, continues to change the world today. That's why we're so excited and happy to have Microsoft yet again expanding its presence here with the retail location as they continue to reinvent themselves and continue to change the world. So thank you so much for your part, new jobs, new investment, state of Michigan. Thank you so much.
With that, we get a chance now to really open up the store. And I would be not doing my job if I didn't encourage each and every one of you to get in there and buy early and buy often. We have a lot of great things available for sale today. You'll see people in brightly colored T-shirts. They'd like to do nothing better than to answer your questions and help you find what's exactly right for you. So we're going to take a minute and open the store. I have one other call out I'd like to make. This is the first store opening since we're in my hometown. I grew up in Farmington Hills, where I've actually had family present. So I want to thank my family for coming today. And now we get a chance to do the countdown and open the store. And if I could ask both Tim and John to join me.
Here we go. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're talking with Tim Tews, who is the general manager of the new Microsoft store. It's just opened up here at the Somerset Collection. This has got to be the highlight of your experience with Microsoft.
It really is. I mean, this is what the store was built for. You know, we were so proud to really have a local team picked here for this location. Detroit bringing more jobs to it was something really important to us. So that was my first pinnacle moment with Microsoft in this store, was picking our team. But now that we work toward this to get the store ready for our customers, which is why we're truly here. So we're so excited to share their new Microsoft store with them.
What's your background with Microsoft?
I'm actually newer to Microsoft. I've come from retail technology.
Well, you've got one plum job here then, because Steve Ballmer was saying, this is the second store.
Right. You know what? I did know coming into Microsoft that Steve Ballmer was from here. So it was an awesome opportunity to get to meet our CEO and really showcase Microsoft with him standing right beside us in his hometown.
Now, Tim, when people come in here, one of the questions they want to know is they'll see the toys and from all of the distributors, how about getting help for their equipment?
Oh, we have the answers desk right here in store. That's going to help you with any technological issues you're running into. And that could be just a technological question, some training information, or if you thought you were actually having something malfunctioning, we're going to be able to support you, and we're going to do that whether you're actually you purchase it from here or elsewhere. We're supporting Microsoft, right?
Tim, how do you like being in the same place as the big Apple mothership? What do you think about that competition?
You know what? Again, Apple's actually one of our channel partners. So, you know, we're excited to tell Microsoft's story, you know, and everyone see our store and see what we're all about. So we're just happy to be able to showcase the Microsoft store here at the Somerset Collection.
Tim, how will you interface with the stores that are be going to coming into the, like, Best Buys and other places like that? Is this going to be kind of the mothership?
No, we have partnered with Best Buy to actually open up store within stores. So, again, that's a partnership that Microsoft's making to just, you know, keep making that Microsoft branding bigger and bigger. So I'm really excited about that.
One last question. I know you got a great team of people in here, and it was recently announced that Microsoft is training like 1,200 more techs. Talk a little bit about the team of people you've got here, where they're coming from, and what kind of training they get.
You know, we have a team coming with all different backgrounds. The one common denominator, though, with my entire team is that they are customer-focused. So with that, we can teach anyone anything we need them to know, but I have a team dedicated to superior customer service.
My name is Alicia Parikh.
Where are you from?
I'm from Novi, Michigan.
What brought you here today?
Well, actually, I'm a huge Kelly Clarkson fan, so I came for the tickets, but I also want to buy a tablet, so that worked out.
What do you think of the store? What's your first impression?
I think it's really nice. I love the layout. It's really welcoming, you know, it's easy to find things, and everyone and the customer service is great.
Have you been able to get your hands on any devices?
Yeah, I have. I actually am getting a Surface right now.
Congratulations. Thanks so much.
Thanks. No problem.
Okay, tell me your name.
Connor.
What's your last name?
Bertonde.
And where are you from?
Clarkston.
All right. What do you think of the store so far?
Cool.
What is it that most impresses you when you walk in here?
Well, I don't really know. There's lots of people and lots of services.
If your dad would give you the money necessary, what would you buy?
Games.
Games. Do you have an Xbox?
Yep.
All right. Are you in a market for an Xbox One?
Yes.
All right. Well, keep on window shopping, and nice meeting you.
My name is Jim Mueller.
Where are you from?
I'm from Stout Regis Ross in Southfield.
What are your first impressions of the store when you walk in?
The store looks really nice. I mean, the walls are all covered with TVs. It's really high quality. There's a bunch of great products here.
What do you think their chances are of making it a big impact? You know, they're right upstairs from Apple, and it's a pretty competitive market.
Yeah, obviously they wanted to compete with Apple pretty hard here. There's a lot of people showed up today. I think with the good deals they got going on with the Surface tablets, I think they can make a splash.
So do you think the hands-on experience is going to make the big difference?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's getting a lot of exposure right now just today. And putting the concert on and everything, I think it might impress a lot of people.
Think you'll be coming back to do a little window shopping yourself?
Yeah, after it calms down a little bit, maybe another day I'll come and check it out.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a minute to talk about a smart or maybe not so smart decision about a brand new smartphone on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. I swear that last little piece got clipped off. We were just a little bit long with our segment here, but it was an excited young man who was, I was talking, it was kind of cute because he was just, his eyes were dazzling. He's about 10 years old. And this is the young man I was talking to at the Microsoft grand opening event in Troy yesterday at the Somerset Collection. And you saw a lot of that kind of excitement in the kids that were there, didn't you, Cal?
Well, you know what's really cute is the guy, the kid won like an Xbox One.
You got
an Xbox One certificate, so as soon as it comes out, he gets one of those. And he also got a Microsoft Surface RT as well.
Yeah.
And both of them being presented to him.
With the Kinect, by the way. He got the Kinect with the Xbox.
This wasn't the 10-year-old. This was someone else.
This was like a kid who was a little older.
A little older than that.
At the beginning before that.
Maybe about 14 or something like that.
But Ballmer just called him out of the audience and called his name. No, matter of fact, I think Ballmer just looked down the line and saw him.
Well, he said, who wants one? And
oh,
the kid
right.
jumped up and said, I want one. So he pulled him out of the line and gave it to him. And I'm saying, the kid is like, you know, he's all glazed and that he won something. Sitting there getting, you know, it's getting handed to him by a billionaire. And he has no idea who this guy is.
No.
You know, 10 years from now, he goes like, oh, is that who he was?
Santa Claus.
That's right. He was not.
You might as well have been.
You know what I was so impressed with was the fact that the people that were working there, and we were just talking just briefly before we came back on the air, and Ed said, well, you know, new people, untrained. I thought they were really sharp, really personable.
Oh, yes.
I will tell you that one of the great things about the Apple stores is the really sharp, really personable.
Oh, absolutely.
Young people that are in the Apple store. I thought Sounds Microsoft good. Went out and found the same kind of people, only Microsoft-oriented. I was pretty impressed with
I have
with
a
them.
Little wrinkle on that. It's kind okay. of funny because I was doing all these interviews that you heard.
They're not the old guys with the suits. That's
well, no, it's kind of the same crowd as the Apple crowd. But what was interesting was I just turned as I was doing these other interviews and started to interview one of the techs, one of these new techs, a young man in mid-20s.
With a bright colored shirt.
And a bright colored shirt. And all of a sudden, one of the PR people from Microsoft runs up and says, you can't interview the techs. You can't interview the techs. And I thought, I wonder. Because it was like a very well-staged event. When that curtain went up on the store, it went boom. All of a sudden, it was Cal and I were standing literally 7 feet from it and from Ballmer. Mm-hmm. This thing goes zip up, and then there's this crowd of these kids bouncing up and down. The music is blaring. It was like really well choreographed, like Hollywood, like Broadway. And I wondered if there weren't a few people in there who were there just to kind of the smiling, greeting crowd.
You mean like hired actors?
I'm not saying that, I will say this, that immediately after that, I shut the microphone down. I started talking to a young lady who was also one of those tech people next to me. And she was quite knowledgeable. I couldn't record. I didn't want it. But she was very knowledgeable about the systems.
And if you walked in with a WJR microphone, you can't. You won't be able to interview anybody at the Apple store either. They're not allowed to talk to the press, right? And that's the case in most.
In most cases,
you're not supposed to represent.
I was interested to find out, just because I know Microsoft has just put 1,200. People on, I think they said they trained 1,200 people to be in all these in-store stores, like at Best Buy's. Mm-hmm. And I think that would include these people as well. So that's a lot of people to bring on pretty intensely to know the product. But what I was impressed with, Cal, I don't know if you talked with anybody there as well. Apparently, you'll be able, like the Apple Store, to bring products that have been brought elsewhere. You'll be able to bring them in there for servicing and things, I think.
Well, my question was, Microsoft has four products. What was in the store?
Oh, all tons. Well,
hardware products, I mean.
Well, what was in the store was not just the Surfaces, obviously. They were there. But everything from Asus and Lenovo.
And that's the point I wanted to get across.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And they had their mice, you know, the new wedge mouse that they have.
Yeah, that looks sharp.
I mean, there's a ton of stuff.
And what's on the walls?
Oh, the wall is actually kind of a live TV. Yeah. That was kind of really neat.
Well, the whole wall.
Yeah, the whole wall was live,
I got to say that, you know...
It's like deja vu, Apple all over.
I'm going to be quiet.
Imitation, no imitation.
I want to be fair.
Did you break out in hives when you were in the store? That's what I want.
I'd like to catch on fire.
Just go downstairs to the Apple store just to kind of breathe clean air again.
I actually did after.
Yeah, because there weren't many people down there.
it was wonderful, and I will say this: the Windows Store and the Apple Store are both quite identical in nature. Yes. And probably rightly they would be, because they both do pretty much the same function. I will say that that Microsoft, I wouldn't reinvent the wheel either. If something was working, I'd go ahead and duplicate it as well. And their new store looks fresh and new, and it has a slightly higher elevated look to it because it's copying off something that's 10 years old already, and so they can do a full wall of video as opposed to when the Apple Store was created, doing a full wall of video then would have been
and
quite
instead of
expensive.
Just the and instead of just point. The blue shirts, they had the four Technicolor. I'm colorblind, so was it four colors that
they're
are
four logo? They're four logo.
The four
colors.
Logo colors were there in the T-shirt, so you had that kind of thing. It was interesting. I asked Tim Tews, I know you may have not heard it in the interview with the general manager there, but I said, is it a bit of a challenge being right here in the same place as Apple? And he said, no, they're one of our partners. I went downstairs to Apple, and I asked them the same thing off mic.
Yep.
And the guy I was talking to, and he says, no. He says, it's great now. We'll be able to send people who want to know about SharePoint and about all the other stuff. Microsoft, we can send them upstairs.
Right.
So they're not, it's like a Lowe's and what's the other?
Home Depot.
Home Depot.
You know what? That's how Burger King was able to site their stores without having to do the big studies that McDonald's did. McDonald's did all these big demographic studies and traffic pattern studies, and they figured out where they were supposed to put their store, and they got it right almost every time. and Burger King came along and put a store at beside every one of them. You know, it was just like,
it's very good marketing, and I think
and
that
you
was,
want
and it makes Gary happy because Gary likes competition, and now he can get it within a few feet of each other.
I have my Apple phone and iPads, and I can go downstairs to the Apple store, and when I want to talk Microsoft, I can go upstairs. I think it's great.
I think it is good too, and I
think it was weird as heck to be able to walk around. I mean, I'm in a Windows store, and I could swear without a doubt, and you could probably even put a gun to my head, and I still stick with it. There was like 90% of the phones in there were iPhones.
Oh, people carrying
people
them
were
in, yes.
taking pictures and stuff like that. It was just weird looking.
Let me use this to jump to something that we had talked about.
And you know what? I will tell you that when you said they were partners, they really were.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, when you think about it, you can get Windows on the Mac, and you could for a long time. Mm-hmm. But when Steve Jobs came back to save Apple, because Apple was really on the brink.
Yeah,
and they brought issues,
and they brought Steve back, and I mean he actually helped drive them into a very successful business model, and then the rest is history, right? But the way he was able to accomplish what he needed to is he needed somebody to lend him $150 million, and Bill Gates did.
Oh, that's interesting. Part of the story I didn't know. That's very interesting. Yep.
But, you know, in return, Bill Gates got one heck of a deal out of the deal, because a lot of stuff that you'll find in Microsoft Office, take any version you want to see, is usually in the Mac version first. Mm. And so they kind of pilot it out there. If it flies there, they know it's going to fly in the Windows environment.
Interesting.
Yeah, and actually just the opposite in some cases as well, where we couldn't get for a while. We couldn't get certain things in the Mac version of Windows that we could get in the Mac version of Office, rather, that we could not get in the Mac.
It still is the case, too. Office for Mac is still really well behind, and it's supposedly they're catch up. They're all working right now for you to be able to work out of the cloud.
And it doesn't matter for Microsoft because both of them are cash cows.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that's the way it should be.
I wanted to do this just kind of quickly because we've been asking people to help me make a decision my new cell smartphone, and what I did was
made a decision on your own.
How you like this? Oh, I went for, and it came down to dollars and cents. I had an upgrade with AT&T. I was on an iPhone 4, and Best Buy, and I think it's still going on right now. Essentially, you can upgrade from an iPhone 4 if you have the upgrade with AT&T or whoever.
If you're out of your two, and I was ready to make window, so you're ready to make jump. Another one.
For $0.00, you go from an iPhone 4 to an iPhone 5.
That used to be $199.
Yes.
Right?
And then so they had all sorts of rebates. The bottom line was I paid $38 for the change, which would be the upgrade fee with the AT&T anyway. And now, why did I do that? Well, because I'm looking forward, Cal, to the iOS 7 coming out, the new operating system for it. The phone is lighter, but the problem, and Ed and I were talking about this, is it's too small. It's just too small.
I like it.
It's light. I like the way it fits in my hands. It feels better than the iPhone 4 does. I love Siri because I can say things to it now rather than getting my big ham hands on it. Mm-hmm. Dictate messages. Ed and I were coming down. I told a Siri, open up an application. It opened it up for me. Send a message to somebody. Call somebody. Now, Google has had that going already with their Google Voice for a long time. And even Windows Phone has had that with the Nokia brands. One thing I have to say, Cal, when we were in that Microsoft store, the thing that I loved about the iPhone, the Windows Phone 8, was that start screen. And that, man, that's where Apple still falls down. But anyway, I'm there to start with. We'll talk more about it a little later on.
The deal's good until June 29th, which is today.
Today. So today, folks, and get out to a Best Buy, and it takes about a half an hour to make the thing happen if you are in that. But if you're into and want to get an iPhone 5, today's the day to do it at a Best Buy near you. $0.00. Back in just a moment with Mike Brennan. It's time on our show today, as it is every week, for a visit from Mike Brennan with MyTech News, Michigan Technology News, news of entrepreneurs and advancements going on in our fair state of Michigan. Welcome, Mike. What's up first?
Well, Foster, I wanted to mention that DTE Energy is starting a new boot camp to train veterans, as in, you know, veterans of the armed forces, to become instrument and control technicians in the company's fleet of new power plants. And it's called the Fossil Generation Boot Camp. Starts July 22nd at Schoolcraft Community College in Livonia. There's 15 training slots available and at least 10 jobs. So more details at my website on that. Anybody out there who's a vet that thinks they might be interested in that set of training. So
excellent. Great. And to hear the veterans are getting that kind of a break, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of staying in the energy area, this is a little off the wall, but it's kind of interesting. The deadline to submit an application for the DTE Energy Solar Currents customer-owned pilot project is July 23rd. Now, what that is you have an easement on your property. You let them come in, put up some solar panels. They pay you a fee for that, but they keep all the energy, and I guess you feel good afterwards or something, right? So,
but especially if they pay me enough.
So, hey, what the heck, you know? So if it increases the solar energy, why not? Give it a shot, right? Okay, then also Automation Alley, our good friends up in Oakland County, Techonomy Detroit on September 17th. It's an all-day conference. You know, Gary and I used to do those conferences. What were they called way back then, Gary? I can't remember the names anymore.
Yeah, we just called them the IT Summit was one of them and a number of others. But Techonomy sounds cool.
Yeah, so anyway, they're trying to bring it back. That was way back in the days when really there wasn't any defined, you know, technology, anything in the state. I mean, everything was really loosey-goosey, and they were trying to bring it together. And, of course, now a decade later, it's really come together nicely. But anyway, so they're reviving the one-day conference where all the techno nerds from around the state, people like me too and Gary and Foster, heck, you can come there and meet a lot of good folks. And,
I love rubbing elbows with geeks.
Yeah, so you get out there. I know I was listening to the earlier segment, so I know you're battling with your iPhone. So those are the kind of people that can help you out with that sort of stuff. So
all right.
And then also, I always like to give entrepreneurs a plug. And there's a report out of Grand Valley State University this week that says the culture is improving for entrepreneurship in West Michigan. And, that's a really good thing because technology and entrepreneurship really go hand in hand together really nicely. And they're both on the upswing in the state. So, again, good news that you can read at mitechnews.com.
Thank you very much. Yeah, MI Tech News is a great place to find out about all these kind of growing things that are going on in the state of Michigan, entrepreneurship and other things like, and this is another piece of good news that you had in there. Maybe we can wrap up on this, that MSU is breaking grounds on a huge bioengineering facility up there.
Absolutely, and it's about $2 million, I think. I'm going to find the story here. It's a big facility. They're going to be doing a lot more bioengineering projects. I mean, they're really an ag school anyway, so, I mean, it really fits hand in glove in with what they're already doing in that particular area, and then they can figure out ways to commercialize it.
I'm excited about it. My grandson is going to school up there. He's a junior, going into junior year at MSU, and he was already did a little bit of an internship out west with a food, ConAgra. Mm-hmm. And they're learning things about making food and packaging it and getting it so that you can, if you will, engineer the food, create the food so that it keeps as fresh as possible. And it's fascinating to hear the science going into it.
I thought they were going to grow them in square so it's easier to package.
Well, you know? They could do that too, yeah. But it's neat that they're seeing $60.8 million is going into that bioengineering facility. And I know that's a big cutting edge right now, bioengineering, especially agriculture, et cetera, here for our state of Michigan. So if you want to read about more of these things, more detail on all this and other things like adware becoming a big security issue for Android phones, well, then you got to go to mitechnews.com and read it online or subscribe to it and get it delivered to your front door by email. Mike Brennan, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks, Foster.
All right. That's Mr. Mike Brennan, who's with us every week at this time with mitechnews.com.
He covers the whole state, too.
Absolutely.
That's the great thing about it is you can see what's going on in Western Michigan just because, you know, he covers it. And we don't find that other news, especially tech news groups, do that as well.
Yeah, having a good time doing that all around. Well, Eddie, I mentioned the fact that there is now adware coming to Android phones a lot. Apparently, phones period, but Android in particular seems to be kind of open to a lot of those like spamming almost, it seems.
Yeah,
I've had people call me on that.
Well, it's the big, you know, it is the big target now, right? Because it has it has the most install base, the largest install base, mm-hmm. and it's growing. So I think that's it. You know, it's hard to tell
whether
there's
other
reasons.
There.
The kits are all, yeah.
Yep, the kits are
now, all. Now, you're up for a move and a phone, too. I wanted to bring you into the conversation because you're on the Android side now.
Yeah, I'm on the Android, and I have a choice to either get another get an iPhone or go with another Android, going with, like, a Galaxy or a Razer M or something like that. And I'm sort of on the fence on that. I'm not sure where I want to go with that. I mean, all the peripherals that I have.
Cal is making these signs.
Cal's making it like, what's the little droid you're looking for?
Little voodoo, Cal? Little voodoo? The Apple voodoo?
It is not, it is not the droid you want.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Well, I have just the, I'm just the opposite of what Foster was saying about his iPhone. I like the iPhone 5 because it is a little longer than the 4S, but it's still narrow enough I can use one hand with it, and I like the size. I looked at going to the Android because I think I'll probably end up there sooner or later, but they're larger phones, and they don't fit in my pocket as easily, and I don't get quite the app selection that I do with the iPhone yet. So.
Well, see, yeah, but you get viruses, so what the heck, man? Head on over to the dark side. Get that phone.
See, you know, and I may get an iPhone. The pros is I may get an iPhone just because I have to verse myself in all the ins and outs, transferring data. People have a lot of questions on them at work, because General Motors now has quite a bit of that. They're making a transition from Lotus Notes to to Outlook, and in the process of doing all that, they're offering, you know, BlackBerries, Android devices, and iPhone devices. So we have many different.
Who does that? Somebody
actually. Well, they do.
They actually.
They're more secure. They are more secure than the Apple devices.
Well, because a RIM has its own servers, right? You go to the RIM server.
And they're more secure than the Android devices.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
But everyone's bailing, like, you know, because they want that, you know.
Well. And people that are going from the Android to the iPhone, I think the one thing that I keep hearing is that you can't get swipe, which is a very easy way
However,
to do texting.
With Siri, it is now, and this is my dream come true, I don't have to putz around trying to type the thing in there.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't
unless
work perfectly.
Unless you have better diction than I do.
No operating system.
Okay, here's Foster on the way in. Siri goes, are you sure you want to do this? And Foster goes, yeah, sure. Yes.
That's right.
He hadn't learned that, yeah, sure means just go ahead.
You should have said we. We. Probably would have understood that.
It is fun, but I loved it because I could open an application with it. Siri, open an application. Siri, give a message. And I could dictate a short message that way. But you put the punctuation in it, and I think you learned to do it in shorter bursts, and that's why messaging with it, really, I think is pretty powerful.
You know, but that brings up the big question now, and it's on my mind, too. And I don't even know why, but it is. What's going to be happening to the BlackBerry folks? I mean, this BlackBerry 10 was
going to pick between.
This BlackBerry 10 was supposed to be, hey, we're back. We're in the game. And it's like.
They're in the game, but who cares?
They're in a box somewhere sitting on a shelf.
Hey, but guess what's wrong with the BlackBerry 10s? It's not compatible. If you're a corporation, it's not compatible with your existing BlackBerry infrastructure. Incompatible. You got to throw whole new servers in there. Big mistake.
Oh, that is a huge mistake.
Now, if you're individual and going with the corporation or like Verizon or AT&T, fine. You go to corporation, you got a big investment.
Okay, so I have 14 days left, or no, less than that right now, probably about 10 days left to try out this iPhone 5 and see how it works. And there's a lot of things I'm liking about it. When I was in the Windows store, when I was in the Microsoft store yesterday, I love Windows phones. I love that homepage.
You're in. You're
I think
going
I am.
Anywhere.
I think I'm in. I'm not going anywhere right now.
I think so too.
I'm finding more good reasons to stay here. In any case, folks, if you have more to say on our home at our Facebook page, that's still open. You can make comments there, or you can get hold of us by email. Right now, we want you to get hold of us by phone. That's right. Our phone lines are open at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Call us with your questions. We're here to answer them in this next hour of the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast.
It's a great time for you to get in touch with the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown, along with Gary Baker, Edward L. Cal Carson here, and this is your hour when you call in and you set the show by asking your questions about your computer, about me getting on the Internet, getting around it, or sometimes getting over it. We'll help you in any way we can. You may have a question about your next machine to buy. We've got some advice on that. The number of the magic number for you right now, 800-859-0957. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. You know, I would like to, some of our unsung heroes here, the people behind the glass that make the show work. Scott Iomedes, man, spinning the dials and moving the sliders, making our show sound good. Rich Lusinski's back there, helping out with things on engineering as well. And our lady of the telephones, Annie Nichols, is the sweet voice that you hear when you call in. And there you go. Call 800-859-0957, like our first guest, Marlene from Warren. Hi, Marlene. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Very well. What can we do for you here on the Internet Advisor?
I have a question about Outlook 2007. And I was using it fine, and then all of a sudden, last Thursday, I get a little mail message or a box that comes up and says that it doesn't recognize my login anymore. So I haven't been able to receive any email on my Outlook.
So I called
WOW, which was my internet provider, and I thought that was the where I was getting my email from, but no. It was from AT&T.
You're getting it through AT&T.
Right.
So
but
you had an AT&T.
I don't have them as an internet provider, so.
Okay, so what have you changed your internet provider recently?
No, 18 months ago I changed to WOW.
From AT&T?
Yes.
Did you change your email address?
No.
Okay, so it still says Mary Smith at
SBC Global or
AT&T.com.
Right, SBCGlobal.net.
Yeah.
Yes,
all right.
That's the one I've been using.
Okay.
They just made a change at, well, Yahoo is the people who actually handle the email for SBC or for AT&T. And they just recently made a change there. So you need to go to their website and look up the information in regards to that change because I just got an email from them as well.
But the question is, I mean, if she's not paying for AT&T anymore, they're no longer her internet provider, would her email account even still be active? Wouldn't they have done an audit at some point and then deactivated her mail account?
It would probably still be alive because the mail account really is with Yahoo, and I don't think they're necessarily are killing them off.
Well, that's good.
So what you're talking about
is the POP and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So what you're talking about is the SMTP and POP settings, possibly, where you have to go into Internet, go into Outlook and then...
Online.
No, go into Outlook
okay.
itself,
gotcha.
And then you have to go into your account settings and then the advanced settings in there and say that my POP mail port number is... Gary, you went with this through Comcast, so it's like 997 and your SMTP is like... 234. I don't remember.
Where would you find it online? Where would Marlene
find
it?
587 was the part that we've been using.
Right. But that was for Comcast.
That was for Comcast.
Right. So what we have to do is you have to do a search on the internet for AT&T Yahoo to find out what their new port address is.
Or would it be WOW? No, it should be AT&T. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what she has to do. So what's
port
your
numbers?
Yeah,
yes.
SMTP. It's called Simple Mail Telephone.
I figured that won't let me change it.
What won't?
But I don't know what to change it to anyway.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to go to yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com, okay.
And then you're going to do a search on mail settings.
Yeah.
Mail settings.
And it'll take you to a page, and it'll have setting up your Yahoo mail, and it'll tell you all the things you need to do to set it up with.
Okay, and then I'll be able to use the Outlook again.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Now, the question is, have you tried using Yahoo's web-based email instead of Outlook just to confirm that your email address and your password is still active? Because you said it's been 18 months since you've transitioned.
But it only changed just recently, right?
Yeah, just Thursday.
Maybe they just got enough money
to get
an audit.
Well, that's the audit you were talking about, right?
Maybe the wheels just turned around.
Mm-hmm.
No,
well,
I'll
try doing this and see what happens.
Yeah, and that should give you the updated port numbers, et cetera, for you to adjust that and on your computer in the Outlook settings.
Right,
right, right.
And I hope Cal's right.
Do that.
Yeah, we're hoping that'll work for you. Let us know, please, by email, okay?
Okay, if I can get it work. Well, I can use the other one.
I'm sorry.
Web mail.
That was dumb of me to say that. Yes. Send a smoke signal. We'll look for it on the horizon.
And the other thing is you may want to contact your current internet provider just to see if they offer you free email. But, you know, at this point, you may want to, if your Yahoo email is working, great, keep with it. That means it's independent of your internet service provider, and you can switch back and forth and do the Comcast WOW trade-off every couple of years and to drive those prices down, and it will not affect your email account. I just went through my father-in-law and I tried to convince him not to go to a Comcast email address, to go to either Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail, you know, Microsoft's something independent of your internet service provider. So you may want to consider that or throw that in the equation after you find out if your email account's active.
And for our listeners, sometimes what's a little confusing is the Hotmail. They still call Hotmail, but first, my address is still Hotmail. Gary, you and I got ours way back when. But it actually is Outlook right now. Outlook.com is the new name for it. And that's confusing because they have an office product called Outlook as well. So right. hope that helps you.
All right. Thank you. I'll try it.
All right. Thank you. You know, one of the things I found, guys, too, was that I have a number of people that I know got it looked like their accounts had been hacked on Yahoo in this last week. And Cal, you're mentioning you got some. I think they're going through some changes. This last week, I had four or five people where suddenly you get that single line that says "click on this," and last thing in the world I'm going to do is click on this. And you take a look at the CC, you know, who this was sent to, somebody's entire mail list.
Right.
So I think Yahoo has been having a lot of problems.
What they may have done, they may have gone through an internal security sweep and enabled or disabled accounts. I mean, you just don't know.
We were just told my wife works with La Leche League International, and they changed servers with Yahoo a couple months ago, and it was completely a mess, and it's still a mess. The Yahoo groups that she's with. So Yahoo is trying to get itself back on track. All right, back in just a minute to get on track with your questions. We'll be talking with Mike from Royal Oak. The number is 800-859-0957. Welcome. It's the Internet Advisor, and it's your turn. You got a question for us out there, please give us a call, 800-859-0957. And as you heard in this last call, with Marlene, we put our heads together, and there's all sorts of different perspectives and different experiences represented by the four of us here to help you out as well. All right, let's go to Mike in Royal Oak. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and what may we do for you?
Yes, I've got a good one for you here.
All right.
I have been listening to news reports. I'm sure you've heard them about the NSA.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Intercepting, spying, listening in.
Mm-hmm. Their PRISM project.
That's not what they're doing. What they're doing is they're logging all of the voice telephone calls.
And email. Yes.
They're just logging them.
Yeah, and at first they said, well, we're just harvesting metadata, and, you know, if you believe that, you'll buy the land down in Florida, I guess. And they're also, I guess, all the big companies, from what I understand, have opened up their servers to the government under the Patriot Act or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And
so your question is?
My question is, could you guys advise us on like software and or encryption technology or anything else that we could use to protect ourselves?
Pardon me for laughing when you said encryption technology. Pardon me for laughing, because that would be like waving a big red flag saying, I'm protecting something. Make sure you look at me.
And that's exactly it.
Yes, exactly.
If you encrypt it, you can almost guarantee they're going to look at you. If you don't encrypt it, you know what? They're not going to look at you. What they will do is it goes through a big scan. There's some metadata that gets attached to the phone calls. There's not enough people on the planet almost to be able to look at every or listen to every one of the voice calls.
Gary, I can help him.
Okay.
I have an answer.
Well, there are answers.
I have an answer that guaranteed to work.
Okay.
Well, seriously.
Okay.
You don't want them scanning your stuff. You don't want them to be looking at any of stuff going on, correct?
Right.
Well, are we talking email or voice?
Pardon?
Data, period. Right.
Data, okay.
So if you don't want them to look at any of that data or anything that you have and that sort of thing, it's a real simple way to fix it. Turn your phone off, turn your computer off, and they can't find it. And I'm serious because they've been looking. All of a sudden, it's in the news. But let me tell you something. They've been looking at it for years. Yeah,
and if you don't think the government can crack any encryption out there, I wouldn't bet on it.
You know, and the other thing, too, Mike, is they look at it upstream. Okay? They're looking at it. They're not going into these different companies necessarily, but they're going into that big pipe which is where every piece of data travels across. We call it the backbone.
It sounds like carnivore.
They can tap into that backbone at any particular place, and they just siphon off all that data. It's now going into the mountains in Idaho.
They're not picking it up. They're picking up the data at rest. Right.
Exactly. They're not necessarily going into Google and getting it, but with some cases, they want to identify some things they found. Then they will go into Google and say, we want this time. What was that conversation there? And that's where they get the papers for it.
And here's the other side of the coin. If you're not doing anything wrong, why are you worrying about it?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the constitutional questions, I guess.
One of the good things about what they're doing, and I'm not saying that this is good, you will have to trade overall. I'm not saying that. But one of the good things is you will be trading some security for some privacy and vice versa. So if they find a reason to tap into your communication stream, it's backwards compatible. They can go back in time and see if you did anything or said anything to somebody, but they'll do that then on an individual basis.
I would be careful. I'm sorry, Ed, are you going to say something?
Not anymore.
No, please. No, let me interrupt. What are your thoughts on it, Ed? Because I know you deal with...
Well, I mean, there are some instances, like I would think Wall Street, where those people would want to encrypt everything. They're going to encrypt any data, any emails that are leaving their offices and going to some other offices. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are the people that we should be asking, what type of encryption do you use for your email and your
conversations? We want them to encrypt it, yes.
But do you think the government couldn't break that encryption if they wanted to?
I think Wall Street would make it as difficult as possible.
Absolutely, as difficult as possible. Do you think they couldn't break it if they wanted to?
I mean, you know, you have to remember, to a certain point, it's the price of our freedoms that we have in this country. Yeah. If you want to be able to enjoy the type of freedoms that we have in this country, it's going to require a certain amount of protection. One of the ways to find out whether or not someone's trying to do something wrong in this country is by looking into communications and data that's passing back and forth. Now, do they really care about your cookie recipe? I doubt seriously. But if you're
if it says nitrates in your cookie recipe, it might.
Then there's an issue there. Yeah. So, I mean, somehow or another, we have to find a balance.
Mike,
long as there's no abuse of the privilege to do those sort of things to protect our freedoms, then I guess it shouldn't be a problem.
On the one hand, Mike, this is a serious civil rights issue that's being debated right now. Mm-hmm. And it's come of age in this age of data and the ability to keep incredible amounts of information and then go back through them and data mine them. Those are new things that are out there, new words that are in our vocabulary that weren't there before. That's one hand. The other hand is this. I'm concerned about seniors in particular who get caught by scams of people who say, if you pay us X number of dollars per month to use our email service, we'll make sure nobody can read it. Mm-hmm. Hogwash.
Yeah.
Hogwash.
Yeah.
But even if they say we've got the best encryption in the world, it cracked. Excuse me. That's rubbish. So everybody, I mean, anybody who says that to you, I don't believe, and maybe you guys would feel differently, that paying $20 to Reagan.net is going to get you whatever.
No.
It's not going to get you privacy. Yeah. Not in this world, and not with this kind of data that's out
there. And privacy from whom?
Privacy
from the majority of people? Yeah.
Absolutely.
The privacy from everybody? Maybe. The privacy from our government if they want to hack in and find... No, I don't think so.
And I think
somebody with a big cray like that, they can...
Knowing what our allies can do, I want us to be on top of that. You know, if anything, I want us creating Stuxnet instead of somebody else creating Stuxnet and handing it to us.
And then being able to protect...
Yes,
from somebody else doing it to us.
Exactly, and we have Richard Steenan on. We have the former head of the CIA on,
General Mike Caden.
Yep. Right, and essentially, this is an ongoing Cold War that's been going on, oh boy, for 20 some odd years. So, Mike, I don't know if we've necessarily answered your question.
There's a lot out there. There's encryption out there, and you can surf the web anonymously. It'll strip your cookies. It'll strip a bunch of stuff off.
Yes,
and it'll protect you from some. Percent, probably a fairly large percent.
More the commercial stuff. More the people trying to, you know, use your searches to bother you.
And that would be maybe a good reason to encrypt. It'd be a good reason to protect your identity.
Right. There's also ways of going out to the internet. You could pay a company in Sweden and VPN to their servers for directly from your house, and then from Sweden you can go anywhere in the world, and they have no idea where you've been going surfing the internet and what type of data you're transmitting.
So if you have a reason
and you have a little bit of latency though with that. Yeah. You pay an overhead price.
If you have a reason to do that sort of thing, then go ahead and pay the overhead that's necessary to do that sort of thing. But 9 times out of 10, most people I know don't have anything that valuable that they need to be able to cover that good.
And Mike, it's a generational issue in some ways too, Mike. Yeah, right. You and I, being a little bit older, I'm guessing from the tone of your voice, we the notion of being private, of conversation being private, right. is gone for these kids nowadays. And I sound like an old fogey saying that, but really they live in a world where it's like, yeah, so what? So everything's out there.
But there's some good encryption. If you hadn't have asked, can you encrypt it to protect it from the NSA, you would have said from the bad guys or from the majority of people out there, yeah, there's some good encryption out there that you can use. But you know, when you include the NSA, I'm just skeptical that you can protect yourself at all.
Bigger computers than anybody. Mike, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. We took a little time with that because that was
a great question, Mike.
It is. It's a huge public issue right now. I'm fascinated. And I look at Annie and I look at Scott and Rich, and I think for you guys, you know, this whole thing of open data is, it's there. I mean, you're
pointing to all the young folks here.
You know, it's fine. You know,
I always like Gary's philosophy. If it's not something I can't say to grandma, mom and dad walking down the hall, or your minister, then don't say it.
Exactly.
And don't type it. And don't look at it. Whatever it is.
Don't send me a picture of it.
Dig a large hole in the ground. All right, back in just a minute. Lillian will be talking with you in East Lansing, and you as well at 800-859-0957 here at the Philosopher's Corner. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Hey, by the way, folks, for those of you who are listening to us over the Michigan Talk Network and don't get a chance to call us when our program is live, we want to let you know you can go to internetadvisor.net, and when you get the R, up in the right-hand corner, you're going to find a little button that says email contact us. And if you would be so kind to click on that, what'll happen is it'll give you a little place you can put your email address, your name, and your message, and that gets sent off to all of us. And each one of us can get to look at it and kind of put our 2 cents worth in and get back to you during the week. So that's for folks who are listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network at the many stations that we have around the state of Michigan right now.
And Foster, we should tell everybody that if they listen to the last segment about how do we take and encrypt our voice communications so that the NSA won't be able to take and pull that in and tag it and, you know, somehow be able to store it and use it. You know, and I just want everybody to know we solved all that during the break.
And
I will tell you what my answer
was.
My
answer for it. Right.
But you know, Foster, if you really don't even care about any of that stuff, which I don't, because my metadata is probably about, I don't know, you can put it on a floppy. At any rate, tomorrow, June 30th, you can join me over at the Met Group meeting that we have every month.
Okay.
And that'll be over in at the Birmingham Temple in Bloomfield Hills. And you can just go to macgroup.org, which you can link to off of our website as well.
Yes, if you go to our homepage, we have a news item up there that says Mac Group Meeting in Detroit.
And where is our homepage?
And that is at internetadvisor.net.
I could just see Cal immersing himself in everything Apple tomorrow to get the stink of Microsoft off of him from when he was at that opening. Am I right?
No, don't go that way.
And I want to point out, not to even address what Ed just said, I do want to point out that if you are listening to us on, you know, tape delay or whatever.
Podcast.
Podcast. That you'll be able to use our site, go to themacgroup.org, and find out in advance when the next month's and session is.
I'm going to up the ante just a little bit.
Yeah.
About a week after our meeting on 30th, if you hear it on tape delay, you can go to our website, internet.net,
the next one is.
Link over to the Mac Group website, and we have the entire meeting on video that you can watch from the comfort of your home.
However, the real one of the real values, they'll get part of it. They won't get the other part where they get to rub shoulders with really smart other Mac users, go to the Genius Table and some other things. So it is worth it going to the to the meetings.
But if they send me a plane ticket, I'll come and rub shoulders with them anytime they like.
And there's a Mac group probably close to them.
A bus ticket. Now, by the way, you're going to be talking about Adobe Creative, right?
We'll be talking about the Creative Cloud.
Creative Cloud, the new place. That's right.
And so that will encompass the new versions of Photoshop, Illustrator. They'll be talking about it as well, and then all the other benefits that come.
Now, you were talking to me a bit about this offline, but I mean, doesn't that include like a monthly subscription? So if you were doing something for just a month where you just needed it, instead of buying the whole suite, Does that sound about
that
right?
That is correct. You can buy it on a subscription basis.
Oh, so by SIP.
Yes. So if you are working on a project, let's say for the next 6 months, and you need to use that tool for it, you could do it that way and then cut it loose instead of buying the $10,000 tool or whatever it would cost.
There's a few other news notes there, by the way, on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. Rick Broida has written a really great one called Does It Still Make Sense to Buy a Nook HD? That's Barnes & Noble's tablet. And he says, heck yeah. And he's got some great advice in there. Rick will be in a couple of weeks.
And just because they're not going to be manufacturing them anymore, they're still designing them, and that they're just going to go to somebody else that's going to manufacture
them. They're going to be a wonderful, wonderful deal out there. Yeah. And then also a Windows 8.1, the review of that, and you can get to downloading, as a matter of fact, the preview for that if you want. Mm-hmm. And then it talks about Microsoft adding 500 new stores in the Best Buy, among the other things that have been going on. So just some information for you. It's on the homepage at internetadvisor.net.
Well, heck, Lillian, speaking of Windows 8, why don't we go back one version and talk to Lillian about Windows 7?
All right, Lillian, how can we help you with Windows 7?
Thank you for taking my call. I have an HP, and I have Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to go on the Internet, when I open it, it used to go directly to my home page. Now it goes to a blank screen, and I have to highlight it. It says blank. I have to highlight it and then type in my Internet.
The page you want to go to, your home page, right?
Yes.
Okay. Where do you normally go for your homepage?
Well, when I open it, it just automatically came to my homepage.
Which would have been what? MSN.com, AT&T? What was it?
AT&T.net.
Yeah. Okay, AT&T.net. Yeah. Okay. So, and you're using Internet Explorer what?
Yes.
You're in Windows 7, so it's Internet Explorer 8 or 9?
Or maybe 10.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah, it's all the same stuff. The guys will tell you. Go ahead.
Okay.
So I'll start and let Ed finish because we're pointing at each other. What you want to do is you want to go to your homepage. That'll be the easiest, the one you want. And then over on the far right, there is a little gear, and that's your internet. That's your settings.
Okay.
From using Internet Explorer, you'll click on that. And then down just above the second one from the bottom, it'll say Internet Options.
Okay.
And if you click on Internet Options, then there will be a dialog box that pops up. And it will say, you know, to create a homepage tab, type each address that you want to online here. You can just say use current. Because you've already went to that as your home page.
Oh, so you can press the use current button.
right. Exactly. Perfect. You go to the page you want to
and
go to.
And that way you don't have to type it and maybe make a mistake there.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's the easiest.
And I'm not sure how that would have changed, but I do know there's a lot of people that have asked me, I do not want a web page when it comes up. I would like a blank page. So Internet Explorer, you have the ability, and you can even see a button there that says use blank page.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point that may have been changed. Maybe someone thought they were doing you a favor. I'm not sure.
Or, you know, you loaded something that maybe did that.
That's probably something I did.
You can very easily undo it.
Okay.
I'm just curious. When was the last time, Lillian, that you rebooted your computer?
A while ago.
Most of us don't shut them off.
I don't remember
the last time.
But I found with Ginny's running Windows 8 on hers that you need to do it. And wasn't that kind of the wisdom with Windows is that after a while it gets kind of full of junk.
That's not just the wisdom with Windows. Any computer needs to be cycled every now and then.
Because your cache
fills up, your virtual memory is getting running low, the whole shooting match that.
Even in the data centers, every 90 days we'll do it if it hasn't been done before that.
I was going to say with Matt, I've heard Cal over the phone, over the wall at work, and he goes, he'll ask people, how long has it been since you've rebooted your MacBook Air, and they'll say, not since the day I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to do that, right? Yeah. How many times have you said that?
That's happened before.
No, that is a problem, and it runs so smoothly, you kind of think, like, I go from my home to here, home.
I just
close it. You know, it sleeps. But it's good for you to reboot. As a matter of fact,
every once in a while.
I did that with my wireless system, by the way, at home, and suddenly I got a whole lot of better performance, and it's because stuff gets getting... So as much as we said over the years, no, you don't have to turn it off to save electricity, at the same hand, about once a month, you should reboot.
Yeah, okay. About once a month.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
Your help.
Oh, you're welcome, Lillian. And it's an excellent question you ask for a lot of other people as well. So thanks so much for giving us a call. All right, let's go on to Robert from Warren. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Just fine, sir. How are you?
Very good. What can we do with you?
I have a question about the combo fix that you fellows recommend every now and then.
Yeah.
I went to a website to download it, and they said that you should only run this program if you really know what you're doing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it can cause your computer not to operate correctly. I want to know if there's something I should know
Good.
About using it.
Good point. Ed, you or one of you guys, yeah, go ahead.
The most important thing that they're trying to convey to you, and this is coming from the Combo Fix program, is that it's going to go in and it's going to do a lot of things to your operating system to try and fix it up. And so they're just telling you that if you feel uncomfortable using this type of program because maybe you feel that you need to know everything that it's doing, then you don't do it because it could inadvertently do something to change the dynamic of how your computer works if you don't follow the instructions. For example, they want you to have all the programs that are that you might have running shut off before you start that because mm-hmm. it's going to go in and look at certain things, and depending on how it sees it, it may or may not disable things. So the important thing is for their own purposes, they're putting
kind of liability.
A liability and protection.
For their liability, they're letting you know that, hey, you're going to be using a tool that's kind of strong, and because of this, please be aware that it could change things, and if you want to proceed, yes. If you don't, then we'll stop the tool and won't go any further.
One of the things I was going to say is that's why I don't use Combo Fix the first round.
No.
I'll use my existing antivirus. Right. I'll use Malware Bytes, sometimes Super Anti-Spyware, and then if it's still not working, okay, I got to pull out Combo Fix just to see what that's going to discover.
But Robert, one thing important, and that is go to our toolkit because Ed has a link there that will download it from a safe site. It'll tell you don't download this unless it comes from a certain few sites.
Yeah. There's only two sites I would go to, and that would be bleepingcomputer.com or majorgeeks.com.
And then use it as a last resort tool, but you can use it freely, okay? You don't have any worries with that. Just be careful. You got another stuff, too. Thank you so much for having shared this time with us here on the Internet Advisor. Oh, we're not done yet. We got time for some more phone calls at 800-859-0957.
Don't go away yet.
We want to let you to know, however, that this is a 24/7 operation. We're open all the time. If you go to internetadvisor.net online, you'll find all of our show notes there. And after the show notes, you'll find that we've got news items and all sorts of things. So things we talk about on the show, we try to link off and give you all sorts of resources. And we got some great month coming up. Emily Hay will be in soon to talk about social media. Rick Broyd is coming back to do a special show with Ed and his son, mm-hmm. Talon, about laptop bundles for kids going back to school. Big deal coming. Ted Lennox is going to be coming later on this month with a young inventor who has invented a way for blind people to tell where things are in relationship to being in front of them in terms of tones, musical notes, like from G to A, et cetera. And, well, Ted's going to be bringing that young man in, so it's going to be fascinating to talk with him, but a lot of good stuff. And next week, Cal, we're starting our giveaways, right?
Yep. Matter of fact, the fine people over at Micro Center, the manager over there, Mike, was kind enough to say, hey, you know something? You guys are always talking about us. And I say, yes, we always talking about you guys and this sort of thing. So he gave us a couple of giveaways to do. And so we're going to start doing that next week. And it'll be helpful. It'll be good for you. And you're going to want one really bad. So stay tuned. You're going to really dig it.
Very cool. And, if you're not on the Micro Center their mailing list.
Oh, yes. You should get on that.
Boy, yeah. I'll tell you what. When it comes in every few days, it seems like. I do dream a bit.
Yeah, I know.
I get out there, but I do dream.
That's good. All right, let's go to Jim in Heartland. Jim, how may we help you up there?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, sir.
I'll make this quick. I've got DSL through AT&T.
Right.
And every time I'm online, when the phone rings and it's answered, the computer freezes up. And I lose everything as far as the ability to do what I'm doing online. When the phone hangs up, it takes a long time to reset. I called AT&T and they said, well, you need to change your filters. So I did that. I've got filters on everything.
That's the first thing I thought of. Me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that did not correct the problem. Any other ideas?
You made sure to change every filter.
I changed every filter.
Do you have a wall?
Would you explain what a filter is, just for people who are listening?
If you looked at it, it looks like a little bitty phone jack with two jacks on it, and on one side you stick the telephone in, and on the other side you stick the line back to the wall. And what happens is it gives the ability for the phone signal to pass through the line along with the DSL signal at the same time. And that's what the filters are for. Now, do you have a wall phone in the house?
Yes.
Do you have a filter on that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because a lot of times people bypass those and forget those as well.
Right. I've got filters on everything.
Did they come out to your house and check out your phone line?
No.
Okay, you may want them to do that because I suspect that you might have a bad ground out there.
Okay.
And maybe they need to come out and check and make sure that the ground for your DMARC on your phone system in your house needs to be sure.
Okay, should be able to run everything simultaneously, right?
Yes, that's the whole point of DSL.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Right, exactly.
I like that. That's a good call, Cal, but checking the ground. Because my house in Royal Oak, it was made in 1942 during the war, and everything was wood. There was no metal. And so the telephone lines that were never grounded to anything.
Where would that ground be?
Well, if you can find a DMARC in your house, and the DMARC is that little box that's usually stuck up in the rafter of the basement, and you'll see all the phone wires going into
where that first comes in.
Yeah. Right. One of those wires should be coming off in a braided copper color.
Okay.
It's probably green now because it's been there so long.
Right.
And you follow that wire, and it should be going somewhere to a water pipe.
Sure.
Now, Gary, you used to have an ISP, so you'd look for stuff like this all the time.
So we did, and I will tell you that... if that's not the problem, I check for squirrels.
Yes, Gary and I started. That's how we started, wasn't it, Gary?
It was. You were having trouble with this.
Yes.
And I said, go look for squirrels. And you went, what? And you went out, and the squirrels had eaten off all of the insulation.
On the lines going to the house?
Yes.
Really?
They got the telephone lines, and they had stripped it. You're exactly right.
That was 16 years ago.
Yes.
Now, does your internet connection or phone seem to be worse or better during rain or high humidity or cold?
It doesn't really much matter, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely need the phone company to come out and look at your physical lines and see what's going on with it. Now, they will charge if they have to come in the house.
Unless you have linebacker service.
Yeah.
Right.
But up to the outside house, they can verify and check it. And
it doesn't cost you anything.
And they can take a look and make sure the signal that's coming across that line is solid.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you. That, by the way, that's an important call. A lot of people who live Heartland and some places out sometimes off the places where you can get some of the better phone internet lines in are using DSL, and that's a very important thing.
Those signals just cross. Right?
Those neighborhoods where Rod Serling lives.
And we've got Stanley from Pontiac. Hi, Stanley. How are you doing? How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hi. It's nice to hear you guys on the air. Look, I'm pretty well versed in computers, and I've used Microtrend and McAfee and Norton, and I've switched to Microsoft Security Essential.
Yeah, good.
And I've even installed it on a friend's computer who was using like ATV or something, and I found like 27 counts of 12 different viruses. I'd like to know, am I mistaken in assuming that no one knows how to protect Microsoft like Microsoft? Is that the best malware protection, or am I where I need to be?
No, he picks up a good point. And what we've been saying for about the last year and a half, with Windows 7 and Windows 8, the best antivirus that we've run across, not anti-malware, but the best antivirus that is really kicking butt out there is Microsoft Security Essentials.
Right.
Now, we will tell you this, Stanley, and Gary said it for a long time, it's belt and suspenders. You want to have the Microsoft Essentials, especially if you have Windows 7, and a lot of it is built into Windows 8 already.
Right.
In other words, 8 is even better. But they built it to be lightweight, and it won't do what a lot of the other suites do, which is gobble up a lot of resources. So, yes, it's built to work with Microsoft.
Right.
However, nothing is a perfect system. You're going to get people getting around it. So you want to have a malware bytes available to go
which
in.
Is, yeah, only one antivirus program at a time.
Yes.
Right.
And malware bytes will be there as an anti-malware that you can keep on the side.
Malware bytes. Are you recommending an additional program to run?
Just to have it in your toolkit.
It's for malware, not for viruses.
And now, what it is, malware bytes is a program. It's free, and But although they do offer a 30-day trial, you want to turn that off because you only want to use it as a scanner and scan when you suspect there's a problem.
Right. And then you may have heard us talk about Combo Fix, which is like another really third-level deep kind of cleaner that you would use only in combination if some of these other things didn't work. So basically, if you've got a Windows, especially Windows 7 and up machine to Windows 8, Microsoft Security Essentials is great protection.
Oh yeah, I'm Windows 7. Am I in now? How am I sitting?
You're good.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm Windows Vista.
Yeah, almost as good as Windows 7 because the Windows 7 is basically just Vista with a
yes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Shy of the government tracking everything that goes across my screen. I'm just sitting fairly well. Then I can feel confident.
Yes. Yes. We certainly, in the people that I've installed, and you guys talk about it, but in everybody that I've got sent to Microsoft Essentials, I haven't had them come back saying, oh, I got all these things. Yeah. It really has been good. Ed, your experience, Cal?
So you're saying essentially they're happy.
Yes. There you go. There you go. Perfect.
And I'm very happy, too.
You had to do that.
I feel real comfortable that they seem to update their files several times a day.
That's, yes. Yes.
And it's not, as you started out the conversation, you're right. Microsoft, being who they are, would be the best to know how to protect their own products. Microsoft had to buy a couple antivirus companies.
Yes.
To do and it. Once they integrate, to do that. Once they did, I think they did a pretty good job.
They've done a very good job. Now, and
AVG's good also.
There are some much more ironclad ones out there, but I would say for the general use, user, you're fine with Microsoft Security Essentials. Thanks for your call. That was a great one to wrap the program up with. Bill, we'll talk with you after the program. Thanks to the rest of you for being out there. And again, Scott and Rich and Annie, thank you so much for making this program work. And for the rest of you out there, thank you. Don't forget, InternetAdvisor.net is the place to go for our show notes, any other information, past podcasts, and on Sunday nights, this program will be posted and you can enjoy the answers we send to people, or you can listen into that special piece that I did at the beginning of the first hour on the Microsoft Grand Opening. Until then, we meet again. Have a great week. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.